Okay, let's finish up the piece. We have about 2 pages to go. Okay, we're up to the paragraph, Atzaso shel Bilam HaRasha. What was the advice of Bilam to try to destroy Klal Yisrael? So this is actually an idea that's found in many, many Svarim. It's really a whole shir. But let's at least get a taste of it. It actually connects a little bit to some of the Gemara we skipped over on Daf Dalet in Avodah Zarah. Davar nifla muva meharav kadosh Rav Shalom mi-Belz. Rav Shalom, the first Rebbe of Belz, explained the wondrous thing. Lahazbir as hamuva itzal Bilam Rasha, that which we find by Bilam. Shalachar shara'a shakol oso zman lo olsa resicha lefanav yisbarach b'yamim elu. The Gemara tells us in Brachos on Daf Zayin that Bilam knew the moment that Hashem would get angry each day. How do we know that Hashem gets angry for a moment each day? Ki rega ba'apo chayim birtzono. David Melech tells us, ki rega ba'apo. For a rega, for a moment, apo, Hashem has charon af, Hashem has anger. So for one moment a day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Bilam HaRasha, the Gemara says, both in Brachos Daf Zayin and Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet, wanted to exploit that moment to curse the Jewish people. If you remember, we spoke about the Tosfos in the past, where Tosfos raises the question in both Brachos and Avodah Zarah, what would Bilam have been able to say in one split second? The Gemara has different opinions how long Hashem's anger lasts. One opinion is Rega Kamemre. A moment means the amount of time it takes to say Rega. That's how long Hashem's anger is. Split second. So the question is, what was Bilam going to do to destroy the Jewish people in a split second? So Tosfos has two answers. Maybe he would use the word kalem, chaf lamed mem, destroy them. Right? That's all he needed to say, kalem, destroy them, and that would have been the end of the Jewish people. Or Tosfos says, maybe as long as you start speaking in that moment of Hashem's anger, you're allowed to continue your drasha until you stop talking. So as long as Bilam exploited the moment, he'd be allowed to continue to curse the Jewish people until he finished cursing. The Gemara tells us that during this period that Bilam wanted to exploit Hashem's anger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended his anger. So explains Rav Shalom of Belz, Rav Pinchas Koritzer, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, talks about this a lot as well. The idea is as follows. Look again. Shala'achar, second line. Shala'achar shara shakol oso zman. That when Bilam saw that entire period, lo osa resicha lefanav yisbarach, Hashem was not roteach, Hashem was not heated, Hashem was not angered, that the divine wrath was not found in the world. In other words, Hashem's gevura was suspended. So what did Bilam decide to do? Very clever rasha that Bilam was. We were learning yesterday, a person has to use that midah of what? Of gevura, of achzarius, that desire to murder and to kill his yetzer hara. But what happens, right? What happens, you know, when Hashem is like waving a banner, make peace, not war. You know, and Hashem suspends his anger. And the world is all about the love. So what does Bilam do? He tries to exploit that. If we don't have that af, if we don't have that anger, if we don't have gvura, again, Ezehu Gibor HaKoveshes Yitzro, if Hashem suspends his gvura, then there's an abundance of chesed. Rabosai, what happens when you have an abundance of chesed? Well, chesed is sometimes used in the Torah in the context of arayos. The Torah says, don't sleep with your sister, it's chesed. Sounds a little strange. But chesed means an expression of ahava, of love. So when there's no counterbalance, when there's no gevura in the world, there's too much love in the world, and too much love in the world becomes a perverse form of love. Instead of loving my wife, I love my neighbor's wife. Instead of loving those who are permitted to me, I love people who are forbidden to me. So look what Bilam did. V'lo hitzliach l'kal es am Yisrael. When Bilam saw that I can't curse the Jewish people, I can't use Hashem's wrath because Hashem is showering the Jewish people with an abundance of love and suspending his wrath, Miyad ya'atz lahachtiyam. So Bilam said, I can, if there's a improper balance of Ava and Yira, of Chesed and Gvura, I can exploit that. Ubir Zos and Rav Shalom of Belz explained, Kimi osa b'chinas resicha she'etzlo kiviyachol, because that measure of wrath that is found by Hashem, mishtal sheles midas ha'achzarios, it causes to descend into this world a mida of cruelty, she'efsher lishtamish b'zeh l'tova, a mida of cruelty that we can use, like we learned yesterday, in a good way, lizbach ha'seyetzer, to slaughter your yetzahara, be cruel to that which is forbidden to you. Right? Be tough with your Yetzirah, just like he's being tough with you. But when Bilam saw that Gvura, that Midas Hadin was suspended, that means the Jewish people also lost their ability to what? To restrain themselves. So Bilam says, if I can't curse you, then I'll get you to stumble in Arayos. And that's exactly what Bilam did. Bamidbar Naso, Baloscha, Shlach, Korach, Chukas, Balak, Pinchas. What happens at the end of Balak and the beginning of Pinchas? One of the most embarrassing acts of Arayos in Jewish history. Right? That a Nasi of Shevet Shimon, who we learned about Shimon's struggle with Arayos, a Nasi of Shevet Shimon is sleeping with a non-Jewish woman in public. Until Pinchas comes to the rescue, as he's about to explain. So Bilam was very smart. When he saw that there was no anger in the world, and there was no wrath in the world, which meant that there was no ability to fight your Yetzirah in a strong way, Haven Shalom Ishtal Shala Oz Midas Achzarius Yisrael, he saw the Jews had lost their ability to be tough. They were too much into the love. V'lo Nimshach HaKoach HaZeh Shal Midas HaRetzicha. And we had lost our ability to kill, which we explained yesterday means what? To kill, turn the page, the Yetzirah. Lishtamish imo betov, to use it in a good way. Umameila lo yuchlu lisgabra yitzram. Without that midah of gvura, without that restraint, Bilam said it's going to be very easy to get them to love things that are prohibited to them. Bekal yuchal lachtiyam rachman alitzan. It'll be very easy to cause them to stumble. And again, there's a lot more to the topic. He's going to give us a little more in the next paragraph. He says, look in the Sefer Tomer Devora, Perek Vav. Tomer Devora is written by Rav Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak, one of the great Mekubalim. And he writes as follows. Da, you should know. Shekol pu'ulas his oiris yetzer hara, he mamish ma'orim hagvuros hachazakos. That all of the efforts of the yetzer hara arouse or awaken great strength. In other words, why does the Yetzirah fight you? Why does the coach push the player past what the player assumes to be his breaking point? Why does Hashem give nisyonos in general? So we have to pause every now and again and remind ourselves. The Yetzirah is a malach Hashem tzavakos. The Yetzirah is on our team. The Yetzirah wants us to beat him. But the Yetzirah is charged with the task of helping us to grow. And the way that a person grows is by overcoming adversity. Not by taking the path of least resistance, but by overcoming the struggles. That's how the Ramban explains Nisyonos. Where does the Ramban explain Nisyonos in his Parash on Chumash? Next week's Parsha. Akedas Yitzchak. Ve'elokim nisa es Avraham. Hashem tested Avraham. The Ramban says, why does God test people? The Holy Ramban HaKadosh explains, to help us to grow. Because we can spend our whole life being theoretically good Jews, but until we fight for it, our life just becomes theoretical, not actual. In the words of the Ramban says, Hashem wants to reward us not just for good intentions, but for good actions. So Hashem puts stumbling blocks in front of us, and our job is to persevere, to be resilient, and to keep pushing. So therefore, says the Tomer Devora, that every attack of the Yetzirah on you is awakening, right? When someone pushes you, you push them back. When the coach challenges you to work harder at practice, yeah? And you say, coach, I'm exhausted. I can't do it. I can't run another second. And the coach says, yes, you can. And the coach pushes you to dig deeper and to find more strength. So that's what the Yetzer Hara is doing for us as well. He's helping us to identify our strength. Take of his chakim Pinchas ben Elazar, vislabish ba'osam agruos linkom nikmas Hashem liziri ben Salum. So let me explain it to you, not exactly the way he's saying it, and then I'll show you what I think Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is saying. Here's usually how you set up the Balak Pinchas model. Again, typically Hashem runs the world with great balance, a balance of Ava and Yira, Chesed and Gvura. Hashem balances the world. That's the name Shakai, like we learned about. Shamar lo olam odai. Hashem made the world exactly, very precise. Very, very precise. If you're too extreme, the Rambam writes, that's a bad path. Avram is extreme Chesed. He ends up with a son called Yishmael. Yitzchak is extreme Gvura. He ends up with a son called Esav. Yaakov is Tiferes. Yaakov is balanced. And that's why we're called Bnei Yisrael. That's the path that we try to walk, the middle path. Bilam comes along and wants to curse the Jewish people. He wants to use the moment of Hashem's wrath to harm Klal Yisrael. How does Hashem block Bilam, kiviyachol? By suspending his anger. Hashem doesn't allow himself to get angry and doesn't allow Bilam to exploit that anger. So Bilam, being the real chacham that he is, says, okay, if there's not anger in the world, that means there's an abundance of love in the world. Well, if there's an abundance of love in the world, I could probably get Jews to get involved with non-Jewish girls. And that's exactly what happened. To the point that it reached the upper echelons of Klal Yisrael, that a Nasi, that Zimri ben Salu, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, the tribal leader of Shevet Shimon, is intimately involved with Kozbi, with a non-Jewish princess in the middle of the street. How perverse is that? But there was such an abundance of love in the world, right, that there was no counterbalance. So who came to the rescue? Pinchas came to the rescue. What did Pinchas do at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas? And now when you hear this Mahalach, it's mamish right there in the Pesukim. You don't even need fancy Chassidish Svarim to say this. It's mamish what happens in the Pesukim. How does Parshas Pinchas begin? Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Nu, what did Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen do? Heishiv es chamasi. He restored my wrath. Pinchas did an act of unbelievable gvura. Right? Pinchas did something which people thought was way too intense, but you know what? It was the only way to get things back to normal. There was way too much ahava in the world, misplaced ahava in the world. So Pinchas had to do a real maisa gvura. And he grabs his spear, bekanoes kinasi besocham. He grabs his spear, and he spears Kozbi and Zimri, and he restores the balance. He restores the balance the way it's supposed to be. So now, what I think Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is adding here, based on the Tomer Devorah, is a nice subtlety, which I haven't seen in other Svarim, which is that you have to realize that when Bilam is using a Yetzer Hara of Arayos against us, anytime there's Yetzer Hara in the mix, the Yetzer Hara is awakening. The Yetzer Hara is very strong. The Yetzer Hara is very strong. Right? He's also very weak, Chazal said, but he's also very strong. Most of our encounters with him that he's very strong. So even if the Yetzer Hara is being, which is Chesed, but there's a strength that the Yetzer Hara is bringing to the table. So Pinchas, so to speak, took the strength of the Yetzer Hara and then channeled it back towards Hashem. That's the Nakuda that I think he's adding here. Just look at the words again, in the third line of the paragraph. Take of his chakim Pinchas ben Elazar. Pinchas ben Elazar says, Bilam's smart, but I'm also smart. Vislabish ba'osam ha'gvuros. He took the gvura. He took the strength and the creativity of the Yetzer Hara, which again was being channeled towards an abundance of love, but it was still a straw. It was, whenever the Yetzer Hara is around, Tomer Devorah says there's an awakening of strength. So therefore, Pinchas took that strength and he redirected it back at the Yetzer Hara. Linkom nikmas Hashem lizimri ben Salu. He grabbed his spear and he stuck it through Zimri and Kozbi. Hainu shishtamish bedinim ugvuros uvishtalshulas shomidas hachzarias shenisara oz. The hatred that the Yitzhara had towards the Jews. Again, the way that the Yitzhara was hating us was by getting us to love too much. But Pinchas recognized the Yitzhara's hatred, and he, so to speak, took that anger from the Yitzhara, the hatred of the Yitzhara, and he turned it back at the sinners. Ba'ofen harayu v'makom anachon, redirecting it towards its place, breaking ulachnia sazuama and humbling this taiva, shehem garmu lachema v'dinim al am Yisrael. When the Yitzhara awakened, right, by getting Klal Yisrael into a bad situation, awakening a certain midas adin, Pinchas grabbed that gvura, that midas adin, and redirected it at the Yitzhara. So again, what you're seeing here is a balance of energies. And when a person is able to what? When a person is able to channel his wrath towards his Yitzhara, he's able to be a person of self-control. That's the point. V'yidei pu'lasa b'midas ha'oz v'agvura, himshich v'hishpia kedusha la'am Yisrael. He was able to restore the kedusha to Am Yisrael. And that's exactly what the Pesuk at the beginning of Pinchas describe, right? Like he writes here in the last line of the paragraph, "Velo chalisias b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi." Hashem says, you saved me from destroying Jewish people. When my wrath was suspended, you restored the wrath. Heishiv eschamasi. You restored the balance of powers. But on both sides, the bottom line is, if you don't have this type of anger or rage towards the Yitzhara, you will lose. You cannot fight the Yitzhara in some wimpy type of way. He comes at you very strong. You better stand up strong. You better look him in the eye. You better stand up to him. You better fight him with Mesiras Nefesh, a willingness to be cruel to him. He's going to say, why are you being cruel to yourself? Why are you denying yourself pleasures of this world? He'll be that nachash that says, come on, God made you this way. It's normal. It's human. And you have to be tough with your Yitzhara. Be strong with your Yitzhara. Be confident to confront your Yitzhara. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. La'amod b'mesiros nefesh b'nisyonos. Isa b'lakuti moran, he referenced it yesterday, let's see it again, in Torah Pei. B'chol echad mi Yisrael yesh kavach shom mesiros nefesh. Every Jew, even the lowest of Jews, Rabbi Nachman says, has within himself an amazingly strong fighter. You can meet the weakest, wimpiest Jew, right? But he has such a force inside of him. And it may not come out very often. But push comes to shove, a Jew has the greatest kalach inside. It's what the Baal Shem Tov said, that when Hashem tells Avram, go outside and count the stars, look at the stars, your children will be like the stars, a different vart than what I told you yesterday. The Baal Shem Tov said, you look at a star from great distance, it's this tiny little drop of light. But if you actually were to travel close to a star, you would see it's huge. It's so powerful. It's not some little, you know, glimmer of light in the sky. It's only our distance from it that we don't realize how big it is. As Baal Shem Tov said, that's how Jewish people are. If you don't know who the Jewish people are, we look like a small people. If you get to know a Yid, there's so much inside of a Jew. There's so much power, there's so much energy, there's so much potential inside of every Jew. So Rabbi Nachman says, every single Jew has within him the ability to what? To be Moser Nefesh. And that's what a Jew needs to do in a moment of temptation, of a test. Limsor es nafsho ba'osa ofen ki'ilu hayu kofim oso la'avod avodazar. Amazing idea. If someone put a gun to your head and said, worship this idol or I'm going to kill you. The Jewish people throughout history have been prepared to die rather than worship avodazar. So Rabbi Nachman says, so you have within you to be Moser Nefesh. You have it within you to die proudly as a Jew. Be prepared to give your life as a Jew. We have that within ourselves. We should never have to use it, but we have it within ourselves. So Rabbi Nachman says, but you should use it. You should use it all the time. How do you use it all the time? Whenever the Yetzirah comes and says, do X, Y, or Z, say to your Yetzirah, what you are asking me to do right now is what? Is Avodah Zara. Let's translate the words literally. It's an Avodah Zara. It's an Avodah. You ask me to do something which is zar, which is foreign to how Hashem wants me to live my life. So what would happen if you had to actually, you know, you're actually challenged, worship Avodah Zarah or else? You would be prepared to die. So says Rabbi Nachman, use that, dig deep and use that against the Yitzhara. Yitzhara says, do something that's unholy. So you say to Yitzhara, that's Avodah Zarah. That's foreign worship. and I will fight you to the death over it. I'm not giving into that. Just like I would die for real Avodah Zarah, well, this is also a miniature form of Avodah Zarah. Umuva Sham Rabbi Nachman writes further in Torah Lamed Vav, Shekedushas HaYesod Merumas Bekutz Ois Dalid De'echod. The Kedusha of Yesod, which is the Bris Milah, is hinted to in the point on the letter Dalid of the word Echad. Let's try to explain. Get into a little Purim Torah. Again, I apologize for those who've been around for a while. If you remember these Torahs, well, the new guys need to hear it also. How do you draw a letter Dalet? How do you draw the letter Dalet? I don't have a marker. How do you draw the letter Dalet? Just picture, think about it for a second. Right? How do you... How is the letter Dalet drawn in the Torah? So you can picture it for a second, yeah? A Dalet has a little point on the back of it. As opposed to the Resh, which is smooth and rounded, a Dalet has a little bit of an edge, a little bit of a point, right? A little bit of a coats, which means a point, or literally a thorn, on its backside. So Rabbi Nachman says, Kedushas HaYesod, just like we learned yesterday, remember I told you yesterday, Yesod, we had that Vart, Yesod is Siyuma Degufa, but it says in Tikkuni Zohar that Yesod is the end of the body, the protrusion of the body. So the same way the Bris Milah is the extremity of the body, right? It protrudes from the body. So too, on the back of the letter Dalid, there's also a protrusion. So Rabbi Nachman says a very deep thing. He says that Yesod is connected to that point on the back of the Dalid of Echad. Ki al yedei zeh mekusharim ve'emunas ha'achdus. Because when your point, when your nekuda, when your Yesod, when your foundation, when your Bris Milah, the first thing you ever did as a Jew on the eighth day of your life, the first mitzvah you were ever brought into, a bris, a covenant between you and Hashem, when you solidify that, it's mekushar, it's connected. Oh, you're the best, thank you. It's connected to what? It's connected to emunas ha'achdus. Part of the way that you say, anima amin b'emunah shlema, shema yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, part of the way you express that is by what? Is kedushas yisod. The same way that Shema is the foundation of your relationship with Torah, you're taught it as a baby. So too, your Bris Milah is the foundation of your entrance into mitzvahs on the eighth day of your life. So the point on the back of the Dalet, as opposed to the letter Resh, it looks more like a Yud, as opposed to the letter Resh, right, which is smooth, which is rounded, the letter Dalet, something like that. Not great. But there's a point, right? It could be more at the point like that. It could also be sometimes it looks more like that. But there's some point hanging off the back of the Dalet. And that, says Rabbi Nachman, corresponds to Yesod. Let's keep reading and then I'll tell you what this means. You'll see Gvaldic things. Upag mohu bechinas Elohim achirim. And when a person is pogame, when a person damages his midah of Yesod, when his Kedushas HaBris is not proper, when he damages, so to speak, the Dalet, and he erases the point on the back of the Dalet, so then all of a sudden the word Echad, yeah, becomes Acher. Instead of the one, all of a sudden there's a possibility of another, and of course that itself is Avodah Zarah. Look what he says. When a person is pogame, when he damages, that is Bechinas Elohim Acherim. That is a form of idol worship. Hainu Shemasirim Es HaKutza Doz Dalid. That you're erasing the point from the back of the Dalid. And when that point disappears, what are you left with? You are left with the letter Resh. Vinishar Acher. And all of a sudden, Hashem Echad becomes Hashem Acher, God forbid. Uvizor Parshas Kedoshim Isa. Shebeis Shirashbi, his here, Al Kedushas Hainayim. The Zohar says that when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would speak about the importance of guarding one's eyes, he said, Al Tifnu El Ha'alilim, don't turn to idol worship. Why is it idol worship? Why is it idol worship? Why is Shmiras Hainayim a question of idol worship? Hainu Sheshneim Inyan Echadu, because it's all one Inyan. I want to explain, but let's just keep going a couple more lines, because the next couple lines also will help us. And then I'll explain the whole thing. I'll try at least. L'chein tzrichim lifol be'eis kvishas hayetzer b'tai v'zu b'mesiras nefesh mamish. And therefore, when a person encounters, again, this temptation, shmira se'naim, shmira sabris, a person needs to be prepared to fight. Misa, to kill off that temptation. Kemosha ayotze leharig al kedusha shemo yizbarach, like a person being taken out to die al kiddush Hashem. In the page, as if you are being offered the possibility of worshipping idols. So where does one get the strength to dial Kiddush Hashem? It takes tremendous, tremendous passion, intensity. But if you want to defeat this Yetzirah, it also takes tremendous passion and intensity. Lishtamish balitova. To use that anger towards the Yetzirah in a good way. Laham is tavaso. Kill your taiva. And in this way one can experience true life. Like we learned yesterday, that Yesod is called that which gives life to the world. And by sanctifying this inyan, you become eternal. You're connected to eternity. Let's finish the piece and then I'll explain. He says in the final paragraph of this maimer, I thought to add one more point that I think I saw in the writings of Rav Tzadok, that in the second temple period, which is when the temptation of Avodah Zarah was destroyed, we don't have a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. It's very foreign to us. We don't wake up in the morning and say, I need to learn to control myself today, that I shouldn't bow down to an idol. There used to be a real taiva for Avodah Zarah. We don't have such a taiva. Chazal got rid of that taiva. Chazal, in that same Gemara in Maseches Yoma, also entertained the possibility of destroying our taiva for sexuality. Right? They wanted to take away the taiva for Arayos. And they did. It was suspended, and what happened? Chickens weren't laying eggs, and people weren't producing children. So in order for the world to exist, in order to populate the world, you need to have taivas arayos. So it was restored. But the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was taken away. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains, and many other Sfarim explain as well, that in the second temple period, B'vayis Sheni, Acharei She'anche Knes HaGadola Bitlu Es HaYetzer Hara De'Avodah Zarah. When the Anshei Knes HaGadola took away the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, something else was lost with it. Anyone know what it was? There's a ton of Chanukah Torah about this, because Chanukah took place in the midway point of Bayis Sheni. What else, what good thing had to be taken away along with Avodah Zarah? Nani is correct. Nevuah. Nevuah. Right. If there's no temptation of Avodah Zarah, then there also can't be Nevuah. There's a lot to think about there. What is the connection between the two? I'm going to come back to it in a second. Let's keep reading. Butla Nevuah mi Yisrael. It was the end of the prophetic age, and it was really the beginning, as we see at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, the birth of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Right? You have Rabbi Akiva, who's revolutionizing Torah Sheba'al Peh, who lived at that period, at the end of the second temple. And the Bayis Sheni. So look, v'ahezber b'zeki yefshar lizakos legiloi elukus gadol kazeh kamo anavi be'es hisnavuso. It's impossible. The explanation is that it's impossible to experience nevuah, the greatness of godliness as experienced through nevuah. Kiyim al yedei shviras yitzra davorizar. The way to experience nevuah, this is such a deep idea. I hope you're thinking about it, not just listening. The way to experience Nevuah is only if you're fighting Yetzer Hara. But if you're not fighting Yetzer Hara because that temptation is taken away, so then, if there's no temptation of Yetzer Hara, then there's no possibility of Nevuah. And therefore the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Af al pi, shenitla Nevuah min anaviyim, even though Nevuah is taken away from the prophets, Minachachamim lo nitla. But there is a way to taste Nevuah, not as a Navi, but through Chachmas HaTorah. V'hainu, shenimtza od behem Ruach HaKodesh. This is how we can have stories of the Chavetz Chaim and Rabbi Nachman and Tzaddikim throughout the generations who knew things, who said things, made comments, made declarations about things taking place on the other side of the world, and they were proven to be true. Because through Chachmas HaTorah, a person can still have Ruach HaKodesh. Ki taiva zu, shaka amor hu inyan avodah zara, nikreis etz achazal ruach shtus. This taiva, again, the taiva for Arayos, has a relationship with avodah zara. So even though, again, on the surface, it's avodah zara versus nevuah. Avodah zara was taken away, so nevuah was taken away. But Arayos is also a little bit avodah zara, which means Shmiras HaBris is also a little bit nevuah. A person who's Shomer the Bris gets a little bit of Ruach HaKodesh. And that's why the greatest tzaddikim were Bali Ruach HaKodesh. Right? That's why Arayos, he says, is called a Ruach Shtus, a spirit of foolishness, the opposite of Chachma, of the wisdom of Torah. When a person gives into this Yetzirah, it's fantasy. And that's the point I want to make. What is Nevuah? What is Nevuah? What do you think it's like to get a Nevuah? Most people get Nevuah when they're asleep, not when they're awake. There are Yechidim who get Nevuah when they're awake, who get Nevuah while they're standing on their feet. For most people, Nevuah was an experience that was dreamlike. Right? A person has a dream, it's like it's a different realm of existence. It's the realm of fantasy. Right? So much of the temptation of Shmiras Einayim and Shmiras HaBris is fantasy. It's a person with dimyonos about what sex is, what it could be, what it should be, right? It's a person looking at images of someone who they're never going to have a relationship with and thinking of them in a sexual or perverse way. It's so much connected to that fantasy. So when a person is shomer his bris, when a person doesn't enter the realm of fantasy and lose himself in this world of falsehood, alma deshikra, the lies of how TV and movies present an intimate or romantic relationship, and how radically different that is from a normal, healthy bedroom of a husband and wife. So when a person controls that and doesn't give into that perverse, warped fantasy of what love is, or what sex is, or what intimacy is, what connection is, when a person moves away from that, then there's room for real connection. And real connection means connection to Hashem, dveikus v'Hashem, and that's a Pesach to Nevuah. Then I can enter a world that also seems fantastic, seems beyond this world, but it's called Nevuah. It's called Torah, which is Lamala Menateva. Torah is beyond this world. It's also fantasy, right? But it's a fantasy that's rooted in Kedusha, as opposed to a Ruach Shtus, as opposed to a stupidity of falling for Dimyonos and then feeling like a lowlife afterwards, for giving into these taivas which were completely falsehood. Right? When a person restores, comes back to the MS of his life, and he says, what am I doing with myself? How have I become enslaved to such silliness? Something that's so unreal and so unrealistic. Hefech chachma, it's the opposite of wisdom. L'chein ha-chachamim ha-nekiyah mizu ha-mazu. So therefore, a person who's deeply attached to Torah, again, specifically Torah Shebaal Peh, a person who works on his Kedusha Sabris, he gets not only Kedusha, but he gets a shtickel Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh Daika, he says. Dafka, Ruach HaKodesh, because it stems, it emanates from Kedusha. Ki kol makum shata motze geder erva, ata motze Kedusha. Like Rashi says, wherever you find guarding erva, you find Kedusha. Lachain afal pi shabat laminaviyim, even though we don't have Nevuah anymore in the classic sense, because Avodah Zarah is the opposite of Nevuah, but we still have Ruach HaKodesh, because we still are fighting the Ruach Shtus. We're still fighting the stupidity of this temptation. Okay? Now, I know people have their hands up. There's a lot of questions and comments, but I want to just be Mazvir a little bit more, and then at the end, I'll take your questions and comments. Let's go back to the Dalet and Reish Sugya. Echad versus Acher. Right? Again, make sure we have the pieces lined up. Right? There used to be something called Avodah Zarah, and the opposite of it was Nevuah. Nowadays, you don't have Avodah Zarah, but we still have the taiva of Arayos. We have what's called Ruach Shtus. And opposite that, we have something called Ruach HaKodesh. And a person who's connected to Torah and Shmiras HaBris has Ruach HaKodesh. A person who gives into this temptation is a person who's what? Who's entering into the world of Avodah Zarah, foreign worship. Okay? So, however, let's learn the sugya a little bit. Dalet and Resh. If you look in the Torah on the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you'll notice the Dalet is big. That's right, the Dalet is big. The Dalet is enlarged. It's almost like Hashem is saying to us, make sure you look at the Dalet carefully. Don't miss. Pay close attention to this letter Dalet. Look how big it is. Look at its dimensions. Look how it has a koitz, a point on the back. And again, like he told us from the Arizal, that koitz, that point on the back represents, from Rabbi Nachman, represents Yesod, Kedusha Sabris. There's another pasuk in the Torah, which very clearly is the opposite of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And it also has a big letter. It appears in Parshas Kisisa, which of course is the Parsha of Avodah Zarah, of Chet HaEgel. And over there in Kisisa, the Torah warns us, Lo Sishtachaveh Le'el Acher. Do not submit yourself to an El Acher, to a foreign God. In other words, don't worship idols. And which letter of the word Acher do you think is enlarged? The letter Resh. The letter Resh of Acher is blown up nice and big also in the Torah. Hashem changed the font size. Why did Hashem change the font size? Because Hashem was saying to us, I want you to see very clearly, there's something called Hashem Echad, and there's something that opposes it called El Acher. So the big Resh is Hashem's warning to us, watch out for El Acher. Everyone good so far? Our job is to make sure that the Dalet stays strong and it doesn't, God forbid, become a Resh. And again, the way we're explaining it, the way that it stays strong is by what? Is by making sure the point on the back of the Dalet is in its place. What is the point on the back of the Dalet? The Bris Milah, Yesod. Why Dafka the Dalet? Good question. But that's what it says. Which of our enemies is the one who is the most against Kedusha Sabris? Amalek. Amalek is the one who comes to challenge Kedusha Sabris. That's why when we read Parsha Zachor, it says, remember what Amalek tried to do to you. And what did Amalek try to do to us? Asher karcha baderech. Rashi writes in Parshas Kisetze, Asher karcha, like a Baal Keri, a person who has a seminal emission. Rashi says, Karcha is Lashon Keri Vituma. So if Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, if my Dalet is strong, if the point on the back of the Dalet is in place, I'm a person of Kedusha and faith. If, God forbid, I erase the point on the back of the Dalet, I turn into a person of Tuma and Kfira. And that's what Amalek is. Amalek is Tuma asher karcha baderech, a lashon of Keri and Tuma, says Rashi in Kitetze. And of course, Amalek is the greatest deniers of God. Because when Amalek comes to town in Parshas Beshalach, all of a sudden, look how shaky our Amuna gets. What do the Jewish people say? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayin. Is God with us or not? Is God with you or not? You just crossed the Yamsuf. You were just taken out of Mitzrayim. You saw open miracles like never in history. And you're not sure if God is with you. What pasuk comes right after that? Vayavo Amalek, and Amalek arrived. Whenever Amalek's in town, two things start to get shaky. Emuna and Kedusha. The Nesiv HaShalom, the Slonim Rebbe, says, in several pieces, that at every major turning point in Jewish history, there are two things that we're fighting for. And Chaver, if you want a proof that Mashiach is close, all you have to do is learn this piece of Nesiv HaShalom. At every critical year of Jewish history, before Kabbalah's Torah, before entering Eretz Yisrael, before Mashiach comes, it's always the same two issues that get crazy. Emuna and Kedusha. Emuna and Kedusha. It's always Emuna and Kedusha struggling with. It's kfira, it's heresy. It's denial of God, which was once a given. In God we trust. It's written on your money. It's a questioning of the possibility to be a God. Could we prove a God? How do you know there's a God? And it's good. It's perverse, you know. It's perverse in the realm of sexual morals and norms. That's what's happening in the world today. Emuna and Kedusha. It's what happened before Kalas Torah. It's what happened before entering into Eretz Yisrael. And Shalom says, our response to that, of course, is to try to bring blood to these two things in the form of Mashiach. However, you know Mashiachs. We have someone called Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. So the Nesiv HaShalom explains, Mashiach ben Yosef represents what? Kedusha. Mashiach ben David, va'ani tefila, is Emuna. David HaMelech is Emuna. David HaMelech in the Sviros corresponds to Malchus, the lowest of the Sviros, about which it says in the Zohar, less lay mi garmei klum. It has nothing of its own. It's totally dependent. Hashem, I can't do it without you. Emuna. So we have two Mashiachs. Can I get these two big gates or haras? Of course, who is the embodiment amongst our enemies of these two yetzer haras? It's a Malek in general, which is the root of all evil. But it's also Esav and Yishmael. Yishmael is a perversion of Arayos, of Kedusha. And Esav is a perversion of Emuna. Let's talk about Islam and Christianity for a minute. You could look at a woman walking around in a burqa and say, that's the highest madrig of Kedusha. And then you could open up the Quran and see that basically, a man who wants to rape his wife, more or less can do so without her consent. When Yishmael is on its way alongside Avram and Yitzchak to Akedas Yitzchak, what does Hashem say? Shvulachem poem achamor. You wait here with the donkey. Who is he talking to? Yishmael. Says the Gemara in Yevamos, Yishmael is an am hadoma lachamor. You're a people who are compared to a donkey. That's why Arabs always have donkeys. Now you make your way up to the old city, you always see some kid like walking with a donkey. What's with the donkeys? The Maharal explains achamor is a lashon of chomer, of chumrias, of physicality. They're overcompensating by wearing the burqas. It's a complete overcompensation for the perverse sexual behavior that takes place behind closed doors. It seems like they're very tznias, but it's too much. It's whenever there's something extreme, you know there's an element of sheker there. Hashem wants us to be balanced. What about Christianity, the world of Esav? Again, Esav by way of Edom, Rome, Christianity, the destroyers of the second Beis Hamikdash. What does it mean to be a good Christian? You wear a little cross around your neck. You say, I believe in Yashka. I'm a believer. Right? Those who believe will be saved from hell. Those who don't believe will go to hell. Where's your Shulchan Aruch? Where's the substance of your Torah? Where are your halachos? Right? You just got to believe. Right? You could do whatever you want. But as long as you got that, you know, you're wearing that little cross necklace around your neck. Yeah? Then you're good. Everything else is good. Right? Emuna, it's all about Emuna. It's too much Emuna. Where's the mitzvahs? Where's the shmiras mitzvahs? So, the way the Svarim explain, again I'm oversimplifying, but Yishmael is the perversion of Kedusha, Esav is the perversion of Emuna, and Amalek is really the combination of both. Because again, Amalek is, like we see in Rashi Kiteitze, Asher Karcha Baderach, it's a Tumah of Keri. Amalek is Vayizanev Becha, Kol Anachasholam Acharecha. Amalek makes fun of Bris Mila, Rashi says, at the end of Parshas Ki Teitze. And Amalek also gets us to ask the question, does God exist? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imay. So the way that we stay strong is that what we attach, look, what is this Dalet? This Dalet is the representation of Emuna and Kedusha. It's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, I only believe in one God, the declaration of Emuna. But Rabbi Nachman is telling us the point on the back of the Dalet represents what? Represents Yisod, Kedushas Habris. Chavrut, what Chabakuk says, and I told you yesterday, the Gemara in Makos, V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. Chabakuk says, if I have to sum up the whole Torah as being one thing, it's really one thing which is two things. It's a Dalet with a point hanging off the back of it. How many letters do you have here? It's one letter, but it's sort of two letters. It's a dalet with something else. Habakkuk says the whole Torah, if I sum up the whole thing, it's what? V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. What is tzadik? Kedusha. Yosef tzadik. Be'emunaso, if you have kedusha and you have emuna, then yichya, you're going to make it. If you don't have kedusha and emuna, you're not going to survive. A Jew needs kedusha and a Jew needs emuna. You need to solidify the dalit of echad. Okay, so Rabosai, give me 2 more minutes. We have 2 psukim again in the Torah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And we have a pasuk in Ki Sisa by Chet HaEgel that says what? Lo Sishtachavel Le'el Acher. Don't bow down to an El Acher. The Arizal says, what's the gematria of El Acher? What's the gematria of El Acher? 240, which is gematria. Amalek. So Hashem says, who do you choose? Do you choose Echad or do you choose Acher? Do you choose Hashem Echad or do you choose El Acher? Do you choose Hashem Echad or do you choose El Acher? The difference between a Dalid and a Reish is what Rabbi Nachman told us, and all the Sfarim tell us, is called a Kotz. There's a point. There's a point on the back of the dalet that makes it into a dalet. If it's smooth, then it's a resh. If that coats is there, if that point is there, then everything is good. What's the difference in gematria between dalet and resh? How much is dalet in gematria? 4. How much is resh in gematria? 200. What's the difference between resh and dalet? 196, which is coats. Right? Coats. That point, coats, is gematria 196, which is the difference between Dalid and Rish. Dalid versus Rish. The point on the back. Lo sishtachav el acher. Don't bow down. Interesting. Don't bow down to el acher. Who was the one from Amalek who wanted us to bow down to the el acher, who made himself into an avodah zarah? Right? Again, you see the world of avodah zarah and arayos coming together. Amalek representing Avodah Zarah and Arayos. Of course, it was Haman. It was Haman. The Sfarim say that if you take Haman, take the name Haman, and you spell it in Miloy. Let's see who Haman really is. Miloy means you expand the letters, you spell out the letters, and you get the big picture of who the person is, you know? Let's spell out Haman. Let's open up Haman and see what we find. Okay, so let's open up Haman. How much is mem in gematria? Mem. How do you spell mem? How do you spell mem? Mem. So that's 8. How do you spell nun? There's only one way to spell nun. Nun vav nun is 106. What are we up to? 186. How do you spell hey? There's a few ways to spell hey. One of them is hey hey. So Haman and Miloy is 196.
No, so I ask a question. Wait a minute. The coats, we said, is good. No? The point, 196 is not your coat. We want the coats. The coats is a good thing. So how do you say it? Why is Haman gematria your coats? You say he's trying to take away the coats, right? Again, you always have to remember, there's a rule in Kohelis in the 7th chapter. Kohelis, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Gamezeh l'umat zeh asa elokim. This one opposite that one, Hashem created. It's Newton's principle. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So the counterbalance, the struggle for coats, right? Haman is, so to speak, the one who's trying to take away the coats. A coats could also be a thorn. Coats could be a bad thing. There's a coats of Kedusha, a point of holiness. There's also a coats of Tumah, which is Haman. Maybe it's him trying to erase the coats. Okay. So the Torah says, Lo sishtachav el acher. Don't bow down to el acher gematria Amalek. Don't bow down to Amalek. Make sure that your dalet is a dalet. Be very careful. Make sure you maintain your dalet. Let's just end by going back to Gan Eden for 1 minute. When Adam HaRishon sins, and again, the root of all sin in many ways is Arayos. Where does the Nachash first show up in the Torah? Which parak? Parak Gimel. V'anachash haya arum mikol chayas asada. The Nachash was the most arum. Was the most sly, cunning, naked? The Nachash was the most naked of all the creatures. Yeah. And Rashi says, how did the Nachash get started over here? Ra osam arumim v'oiskim betashmish le'ein kol. The Nachash saw Adam and Chava being intimate with each other, and he was jealous. So really, the beginning of all sin is rooted in Arayos. What happens after Adam and Chava sin? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, "Nu, Adam, what did you do? You ruined the world. You listened to the El Acher. You listened to the Nachash. The Nachash is the embodiment of Amalek." The Pasuk says, I think it's in Isaiah, Mishoresh Nachash, from the root of the Nachash, Mishoresh Nachash, Yetzei Tsefa, comes forth a viper. From the root of the Nachash comes forth the most dangerous of snakes. What's the Gematria of Tsefa? Mishoresh Nachash, from the root of the Nachash comes forth a Tsefa. 240, Gematria of Malik. Right? You gave into the El Acher, you listened to a Malik. You fell into Amunah, you didn't believe in Hashem, and you weren't careful in Kedusha. Adam and Chava, it was innocent. They didn't know they were even naked. They didn't see being intimate with each other as anything embarrassing. But the Nachash, who's the embodiment of a Malik, saw it, and he twisted it, and he perverted it. He got them to deny God, and he turned their act into an act of Arayos instead of an act of holiness. Yeah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, you messed up royally, and then you need to be punished. Rabosai, what's the punishment of Adam HaRishon? What's the punishment of Adam HaRishon? If you don't believe in Chassidus, you're about to. If you think Chassidus is like, nah, this is, it's okay, it's not bad, it's a little bit of a stretch. You can't read this pasuk of Adam's punishment, again, after hearing the sugya presented this way, and say, nah, the Torah is true. The Torah is absolutely true. What does it say about Adam and Rishon? Your punishment is you're going to have to work hard, no? What does Hashem say to Adam and Rishon? Kots vidardar tatzmiach lach. Thorns and thistles will grow for you. Chaver, look at those words, kots vidardar. Look at the words, kots vidardar. Kots vidardar. Adam, the rest of your life is going to be about kots and dardar. No? What does it mean? Kots being the difference in the shape of the dalet and the resh. Dardar, dalet, resh, dalet, resh. Kots being the difference in gematria between dalet and resh. And therefore, Abba says, you go to Parshas Beshalach in the fight against the Amalek, and what does it say? Milchama la'ashem ba'amalek. No, finish the pasuk. Midor, dor. So you'll say, well, dor is spelled with a vav. So I'll say, don't be an Amaret. It's not spelled above in the Chumash. It's spelled Dalet Resh. Because the whole battle against Amalek is Dalet versus Resh. The whole battle of Amalek is Dalet versus Resh. When Moshe is in Shemayim getting the Torah to try to teach the Jewish people about faith, and Klal Yisrael are making an Egel down below, what does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Get out of the Shemayim and get back downstairs. And how does he say that? Lech Raid. Get back down there and turn that resh back into a dalet. The Jewish people are straying. It's no longer Hashem Echad, it's turning into El Acher. Go fight the battle against the Malach. Midor, dor, dalet resh, kots vidar, dar, tatzmiach lach. However, there's even more to the sugya, but I'll end with one last point. Our job in life is to what? Is to be timcha as zecher amalek, to erase the zecher of amalek. That's the mission statement, that's the job. So let's do it. The tzaddikim say, let's be Timcha Zecher Amalek. Let's erase Zecher from Amalek. So what's the gematria of Amalek? We said is how much? Amalek is 240. Sorry. Amalek is 240. Let's erase Zecher from Amalek. How much is Zecher? 227. What happens if we erase Zecher from Amalek? How much are we left with? 13. Gematria?
Echad. And Ava. Echad.
erase the zecher of Amalek, get it back to Echad, get the Dalet back in place. Don't fall into the world of El Acher. But again, what Rabbi Nachman is telling us is the world of sexual temptation, the world of fantasy, the world of pornography, the world of Otzah Zera Levatala, the world of taking something which Hashem is so much in favor of, it's the first mitzvah of the Torah, Pru Revu, and using it in a way that's just total dimyonos, is mamish of Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah. And therefore, the same way, says Rabbi Nachman, you would throw yourself into a fiery furnace not to worship Avodah Zarah, that even when your passion is burning with taiva, the person has to be moser nefesh, mamish, to resist this temptation. Okay? So I want to thank our Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, for teaching us. And Amir Tzashem, tomorrow we're going to learn Degel Machaneh Ephraim, but Amir Tzashem, I'm away next week. Okay, so when I get back, Amir Tzashem, we'll continue with a totally new topic on page Kuf Yud. Okay, Shabbat.